Jesus told his disciples a parable about the necessity for them to pray always without becoming weary. He said, "There was a judge in a certain town who neither feared God nor respected any human being. And a widow in that town used to come to him and say, 'Render a just judgment for me against my adversary.' For a long time the judge was unwilling, but eventually he thought, 'While it is true that I neither fear God nor respect any human being, because this widow keeps bothering me, I shall deliver a just decision for her, lest she finally come and strike me.' The Lord said, 'Pay attention to what the dishonest judge says. Will not God then secure the rights of his chosen ones who call out to him day and night? Will he be slow to answer them? I tell you, he will see to it that justice is done for them speedily. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?'"
Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. Will prayer change the mind of God? No. Will prayer change the heart of God? No. Will prayer change the will of God? No. Now, I'm not just talking about a quick Hail Mary as the ball is in the air or a quick sign of the cross at the foul line. I'm talking about real prayer, unceasing prayer. I'm talking about novenas. I'm talking about really concentrating and asking God. Will that change his mind, his heart, his soul, his will? No. Then why pray? What is the purpose of prayer? We find the answer, the purpose of prayer, at the end of the gospel today. When Jesus asks a question, he says, "When the Son of Man comes, when he comes in all of his glory, will he find any faith on the earth?" So the reality of our prayer is to dispose ourselves to the love and the presence of God as a faith-filled person who seeks peace. Because it's only those who are at peace when the Son of Man comes that will be able to rejoice and accept the kingdom of God. So what is peace? Well, my definition of peace is the fullness of our human lives in union with God. That's what we seek in our prayer. See, because prayer isn't rubbing the genie bottle harder and harder until it glows to get what we want. Prayer isn't even a mulligan, like in golf, where we throw up a prayer and God gives us a new start and then we go on our own way. No, prayer is that disposition in the presence of God and knowing full well and being thankful for it. That God's mind does not need to be changed because it is the mind who put out the divine plan. From the moment of creation, creating everything out of his love and seeing it as good. Creating you and I in his image and likeness and seeing it as good. It's knowing that we would desire never to change the heart of Jesus, which bleeds with mercy and forgiveness. Prayer always brings us to the reality that the will of God is only one thing, that everyone will be saved, that they will see the divine plan for which he has laid out as good, accept and embrace that bleeding, merciful heart which heals us on the way. Jesus speaks of two things that are important in the gospel today. He first speaks about the necessity to pray always so that we do not end in despair. And that is when we pray to be aware that the devil hates prayer more than anything else. Satan will never try to get you or I not to believe in God. He can't. It's impossible. Because he is so real, so apparent to us in all the things that we see and know. So he's not going to go there. He's not going to try to take us from believing in God. But what he wants to do is keep us from praying. And that's why Jesus says, pray always so that you do not become weary. Pray always so that when things don't go your way and you're frustrated, you quit. Pray always so that you realize that as you put yourself before God, even if you're angry with what's going on in your life, you won't give up. And mostly, that you won't end in despair. Weariness comes from a lack of trust. When we look at the parable that Jesus tells us, I like to turn it around in another way, because I think that even my definition of peace, the fullness of life in union with God, should be looked at from the other side as well. If we know the mind and the heart and the will of God, then our lives will be full. We only come to know that through prayer. But when you look at the parable, Jesus can easily put God as the woman who is praying, the woman who is unceasing. Because I think I and you look more like the unjust judge who sometimes doesn't put God in the place of justice but ourselves. So here's how that would look. We pray, and he keeps nagging. He keeps prodding until we know his mind, his heart, and his soul. That makes prayer much easier for me, because then I don't have to ask the right things. I don't have to have the right words. All I need to do is raise up my concerns. And he'll continue to push us to that place where real peace comes. When our lives are in union with his, then we have made the place of faith, and he will find it on the face of the earth. So what should be our mission this week? I think it should be to take seriously praying unceasingly, to pray always, so that we do not become weary, that we don't try to change God's mind or his heart, or his will. That we don't use it as a genie bottle with three wishes and use two, and of course the third one is what? Three more wishes. Or a mulligan to start over on our own way. But to pray and then stop and listen to his begging, his petitions for your mind, for your heart, so that your will becomes his. Secondly, and this is just as important, in many ways even more important, to pray unceasingly for those that you love who cannot pray for themselves. Those who are deep in sin, who are so afraid of God. For those who are angry and have walked away from God. For those who are hurting because of a great loss, so that they may see his bleeding heart in mercy. Pray as if you are them, for they cannot pray for themselves. Because if you pray for them, Jesus will be that widow. He'll keep nodding at them, prodding at them, until they come to realize that peace only comes through his heart, mind, and will. What does that look like when we pray that way? It looks just like the first reading. Moses had the best of the battle when his arms were raised in prayer. And when he no longer could hold up his arms, meaning that he no longer could pray on his own, Aaron and Hur held up his arms. Did you ever hear that expression, I hold you up in prayer? That means because you can't do it. But I can do it for you. The power of praying for those who cannot pray will fulfill the hope of Jesus. That when he returns, he will find faith on the face of the earth. That those who are broken, those who are weary, those who have given up, because of our prayer, because of his prodding, will be awaiting the fullness of life. If you pray in this way, you will find the greatest comfort for those that you love who frustrate you like crazy. You find great comfort knowing that those who live in great fear and anxiety will eventually have peace. If you pray in this way, you yourself will know that it's not the changing of God's mind, heart, and will, but our desire to be one with it. You pray this way, you will be one who will have faith when he returns to the face of the earth. At the end, or in your hour of death. And I promise, I will pray the same.